Hey, everybody. Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Just checking in here. Wanted to give you some quick thoughts on the Royal Rumble coming up in just over a week, as well as some thoughts on Monday Night Raw, the curb stomp being brought back, Braun Strowman destroying yet more equipment in the backstage area, and of course, Raw 25, which yours truly will be attending. Just some quick thoughts here on the Royal Rumble. You know, and I will say this, and I have some hesitation about Roman Reigns. And I know that many people have thought that he has finally turned the corner in WWE, in the fans' eyes, that he has finally turned that babyface corner and that he has more support from the fans than he ever has. And to be honest, I don't know if I can really dispute that. I think the majority of the fans that were booing him have either gone silent or maybe slightly turned. And I think it's because he is hidden within the Shield. And I think that many people forget that Roman Reigns is being hid within the Shield, and that affiliation with the Shield is the only thing, I think, keeping him together from completely falling apart as his babyface run has thus far over the past 3 years. And I think once that affiliation with the Shield is gone, that Roman Reigns will be going back to, and once he comes out of the Intercontinental title picture, which I believe he will, and I believe at Raw 25 that Roman Reigns will lose the Intercontinental Championship to The Miz. I think that's where WWE's going. It's a good way to put Roman Reigns back in the Universal title picture once they have The Miz capture the Intercontinental Championship. You have Roman turn his focus to the Universal Championship, maybe even being a participant in the 30-man Royal Rumble, which is, I think, a strong possibility, as we saw last year, that Roman Reigns was inserting himself into the Royal Rumble as number 30 in the Royal Rumble last year. I think this could be a similar situation this year after Roman Reigns loses the Intercontinental Championship at Raw 25, that he immediately enters the Royal Rumble match and maybe even wins the thing. But I would be very hesitant in Philadelphia, of all places, where Roman Reigns got booed out of the building in 2015, to have him be an entrant and much less win if they are trying to continue to make him a babyface, or at least try to be successful. And I really don't believe that he has turned the corner. I think that the progress of him spiraling out of control into a heel, or at least getting the fan support, has just stalled and is being masked by his association with the Shield. And the fact that he is not in the title picture, Universal title picture, are two big and only reasons that the fans have not really outright rejected him week after week, since defeating The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And yes, you can say that he puts on great matches, and he does put on great matches. He is very good inside the ring. That is not the issue. The issue is he is just not simply relatable, especially to the older male audience, your core demographic. Yes, he's pretty to all of the women out there and to the children that just don't know any better and look up to him as a hero when they call his... he has a signature move called the Superman Punch, which is extremely... It makes me want to vomit as an adult male, but that is where his support lies, are children and women who just look at him and know nothing about wrestling, nothing about his character other than he looks pretty and his hair is well conditioned. And that is his core audience. And so that is my thought on Roman Reigns and his turn, where it has been, at least as I said, kind of a stalling tactic, or at least a distraction that WWE has tried to get Roman Reigns out of the title picture, stop having him talk about Undertaker, and have him in the Shield, which is a beloved group. Although, I'll be honest, this latest Shield reunion does not feel like a Shield reunion. With Dean Ambrose being injured, and all three guys, even when the Shield was reunited, not really fighting as a cohesive unit, more of just kind of they're in their own storylines, but backstage they're all together. So it has not felt anything like version one of the Shield. And to be honest, just kind of bad time with Dean's injury. And I would say overall, it's been kind of a failed Shield reunion. And so that's unfortunate. But moving on here to Monday Night Raw, I really enjoyed Monday Night Raw. I really did. I thought it was well put together. Braun Strowman weaved throughout the entire fabric of the show was something that I think was done well. I could do without WWE's camera angles that are just conveniently on trucks and inside cars and in the most ridiculous places that camera angles could not be, and we're just supposed to assume that there are just cameras absolutely everywhere and there are live feeds ready to go whenever there is something happening, is just asinine. I know that they're trying to just make sure, and they're going to say, nobody cares, nobody notices. We just want that good shot. Okay, well, I'm noticing, other people are noticing. It takes me out of the moment because it's not realistic. You'd have a camera there. It's absolutely ridiculous. But outside of that nitpicking, I did really like Braun Strowman's destruction. He feels like a guy that's not a part of the show, which makes me intrigued. I like Braun Strowman's character. I applaud WWE for what they've done with him. He is what he says he is, a monster among men. Although I could also do without the every 5 minutes being reminded what his nickname is, even himself calling himself a monster among men. Did you hear Stone Cold Steve Austin call himself the Rattlesnake? No, nicknames are just given. You don't overuse them, but everybody in WWE's got to have a nickname, the Monster, the Machine, and the Beast. It's such a transparent marketing ploy that sometimes it gets a bit distracting, and I don't need to be told he's a monster among men every 5 minutes. But Braun Strowman picking up Michael Cole with one hand was probably the visual of the night. With Jerry the King Lawler and Jim Ross returning for the 25th anniversary of Raw, you can bet that that was a conveniently placed, quote, injury angle with Michael Cole. Although he was just said to be kind of bruised up and shaken up, he could be excused from next week's Raw as Jerry the King Lawler and Jim Ross return to the announce booth. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a, you know what, and obviously being inside the arena in the Barclays Center, I'm even more excited. I'm not going to unfortunately be able to hear Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler unless I watch it back, but this should be an amazing, when you look at the stacked roster that is going to be at the Raw 25, other than The Rock, which is he's a glaring missing attendee to Raw 25, I think it's going to be one of the more memorable shows. It's the go-home show to the Royal Rumble. You have The Undertaker returning since his defeat at WrestleMania 33 in April. You have Stone Cold Steve Austin returning, and that to me is probably the number one item that I am looking forward to the most. I have not seen Stone Cold Steve Austin in a ring live since WrestleMania 20 back in 2004. So for me, it's been 14 years since I've seen him, so I'm really pumped about that. Hopefully he dishes out a couple of stunners, as many people expect him to. I think that's going to be awesome. I'm really, really looking forward to the lineup. Obviously, D-Generation X, Ric Flair, we all know the lineup. We've all seen the promos. But the question is, does WWE incorporate any of these legends as some kind of wink or nod or premonition to a match at WrestleMania 34? I think Undertaker is a good candidate for that. I don't think Stone Cold is. I don't think D-Generation X is. I don't think Ric Flair is. So I think Undertaker is probably the only legendary figure that has a potentially long-term plan for WWE in terms of WrestleMania. And I think this very well could be Undertaker's last match. I know that is a tired and cliche and been used over the last 15 years, but this is, to me, it. And I think it will be with John Cena. If we see any kind of wink or nod or hint that is going to be the case, you will see it at Raw 25 leading all the way into WrestleMania 34 this year. So I think it's going to be a memorable show. 3 hours. This is when it warrants a three-hour show. These are the times that a three-hour show is necessary, and there's just so much content to get through on top of not just the legends, but as I said, it's a go-home show to the Royal Rumble, which is the beginning of the road to WrestleMania. So there is no shortage of stories that WWE could tell, no shortage of content. I think actually 3 hours in this case will be a very fast 3 hours. So I'm looking forward to that very much, as many of you are. And one last quick item. I know I didn't talk about all of Monday Night Raw, and I haven't done a whole lot of that lately, guys, and I do apologize. The curb stomp being brought back. People are, I think, mostly positive towards this. I think the live crowd was surprised to see it and happy to see it back based on the reaction. I loved the curb stomp. I thought it was an original, brutal looking, easy to apply to any WWE wrestler. I think that was a move that when it was taken away, yes, Seth started using the pedigree, but that was really Triple H's. And then he started using the knee to the face, which is just a Kinshasa, which to me, number one, is I think more dangerous than the curb stomp. And it's just a finisher that isn't as visually appealing to me. And Daniel Bryan had the same running knee. And it's been kind of overused. Shinsuke used it. Daniel Bryan used it in various forms. So to have Seth use it, to me, the curb stomp was Seth's. The visual of him giving the curb stomp to Brock and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 31 and having the heist of the century, as Michael Cole called it at the time, was a visual that will stay with me forever. And I think that is the move that Seth has brought back, obviously with permission. Finn selling it like he had just gotten concussed. There was a mark above his eye, so I'm sure that he wasn't completely unscathed, although it was a work. I think that move is such a great looking move. It looks brutal. And to me, I don't know why WWE got rid of it in the first place. Maybe it was a concussion liability or a concussion waiting to happen, but any move is a concussion waiting to happen. You can get a concussion from a simple punch or a suplex. I mean, things happen. So I'm very, very, I was awesome to see. I was very happy that, and I hope it's not just a one-time thing, that he brought the curb stomp back. And if you notice, WWE didn't even really mention that it was called the curb stomp. I don't know if they just called it a maneuver. I hope that they call it the curb stomp. Maybe they can call it the blackout or something like that. So who knows? But I think curb stomp has some negative connotations that the publicly sensitive PG, PC, correctively making sure that all of their sponsors and everybody views WWE as just this charitable organization suddenly probably has issues with the name curb stomp, which to me is just asinine. It's a wrestling company, and that's to me what it will always be: entertainment through wrestling. And I know that must make Stephanie McMahon just cringe with vile energy and just make her want to vomit that she is affiliated with a wrestling company. You know, if you looked at Stephanie McMahon's Instagram, you would never know that she runs a wrestling company. It is an entertainment company, but how do they entertain folks? Through wrestling. She's constantly making sure that everybody sees that they are doing Connor's Cure, that they are doing a anti-bullying, that look at all of this diversity that they support, and Martin Luther King, look at all this, isn't this great, look at all the stuff we do. And yeah, we do wrestling on the side, but you know, we're more about Connor's Cure, we're more about Susan G. Komen. We have some wrestling. We have that, some kind of wrestling. We have that wrestling show on Monday and Tuesdays. But anyway, we also do, and I can just hear her in the board meetings. She's so concerned with image. I understand she's the chief brand operating officer, but she's a wrestling. She owns a wrestling company, and I just am my stomach churns And as a wrestling fan, it's almost as if wrestling has become a dirty word in a wrestling company, because so many people are like, oh, that wrestling. Own it. It is a successful multi-billion-dollar company. And when you have the chief brand operating officer almost avoiding the fact that she is involved in wrestling and focusing her attention and all of her social media on making sure everybody knows that she just plays a bad guy in TV, and making sure that anytime she's on TV as a heel, she almost never gets her comeuppance, ever. Maybe a bump at WrestleMania, maybe inadvertent spear by Roman Reigns a couple of years ago, but very, very rarely. And anytime she's in the ring, everybody stops. Heels, baby faces, we all stop. And we look at the magnificent glowing light coming off of Stephanie McMahon. The angels sing. Everybody, tears get brought to children's babies' eyes. And we all just stand in the glory that is Stephanie McMahon. Everybody stops. You can hear a whisper in the distance. You can hear angels cry. And we all stop at the glory of Stephanie McMahon. That is what it unfortunately has become. And you have a prime example that she had to be the one to announce the Women's Royal Rumble. Everybody stops in the middle of it. We all smile and praise and thank Stephanie for such a great, magnificent, history-making moment. It's absolutely goddamn ridiculous. And it is killing the product. I would love to have Stephanie McMahon reason with me how that is good for the company. Everybody knows it's fake. We have Ride Along on WWE Network. And guess what? When you're watching a movie, do you think they have behind the scenes? Yes, they do. They have behind the scenes. But when you're watching the movie, you're not watching the actors being interviewed saying, I loved working with so-and-so and he's such a great villain. It's called being immersed in the story, folks, and I won't get off on a tangent as I just did. So I will stop myself in my tracks. But look, overall, I'm really excited about Royal Rumble. I'm even more excited about Raw 25 because I'm going. And I think Seth's curb stomp being brought back is a big plus. I also think that Braun Strowman laying waste to everything in his path is also a huge success, although Stephanie McMahon rehiring him is questionable because, you know, apparently you just got to tear shit up on Monday Night Raw and you can just keep your job. That's the message that was sent. Yes, you could say, well, if she didn't rehire him, you know, she stopped the destruction by rehiring him. But it's like giving a crying baby candy because they're crying. Eventually, it's going to happen again. And when Braun doesn't get what he wants, he's going to start destroying stuff. And then you're just going to give the kid candy for being, you know, misbehaving. It's the same concept, a little bit hard to stretch, but I enjoyed the destruction, as I said. So I'm looking forward to a lot. It's WrestleMania season once again in just under a week or over a week. I'm really pumped for that. Again, guys, follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. I'm going to try to do more of these quick little segments as I am on the run here. I'm actually currently traveling for work, so this is recorded off my iPhone. Hopefully, it sounds okay. So, all right, guys, thanks for listening. And yes, I'll talk to you next time.